Well, happy Mother's Day. We celebrate this day. We celebrate our mothers and our grandmothers and the women in our lives who have made us who we are. So I wanted to share from the book of 2 Timothy, and I want to talk today about what it takes to be a godly mother, to be a mother on a mission. So we're going to go to 2 Timothy 1, verse 3. I'm going to ask you to stand as we read the words of Paul to his friend Timothy, his companion, who did many things with him that we'll talk about today. Paul says, "I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. Now I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded now lives in you also." Father, we praise you for the words of Paul to this young man, Timothy. May they inspire us, Father. May they inspire mothers to be mothers on a mission. May they inspire us, Lord, to love our mothers even more. We pray all this in the name of your Son. Amen. You may be seated. We all want to leave a legacy. There are things that I want to be remembered about me. Now, granted, there are many things I don't want to be remembered about me. But we want to leave things behind us for people to remember. It's really big today to do a family tree and to hear and to read about your ancestors. So we want to leave things behind that can be remembered. As a parent, I can tell you one of the greatest things I want to do, I want to leave things behind in my children. I want my children to pass them on to their children. And one of the greatest things that I want to leave to my children, and I know my wife wants to leave to our children, is our faith. Our children want to be our legacy. I want them to be our legacy. Now, some people want to leave possessions. Some people want to leave things as their legacy and money. I love the quote from Billy Graham. He once said, "Our days are numbered. One of the primary goals in our lives should be to prepare for our last day. The legacy we leave is not just in our possessions, but in the quality of our lives. What preparation should we be making now? The greatest waste in all of our earth, which cannot be recycled or reclaimed, is our waste of the time that God has given us each day." Amazing words. What are the things that we're leaving behind? What are we doing with our day to leave this legacy of faith in our children? Who we are, who I am, who my wife is, should be our legacy in our kids. But not only in our kids, as we talked last week, family goes far beyond that. A legacy in all the people that we have influence over. So we want to look at Timothy today, and we got to understand who Timothy was. Who was Timothy? What is the legacy that was left in Timothy? And we need to go to Acts to see where we first meet Timothy. And Paul meets Timothy in a place called Derbe in Lystra. So we go to Acts 16, verses 1 to 2. It says, "Paul also came to Derbe and Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy. He was a son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium." So Timothy was from Lystra. Lystra is part of Galatia. Galatia is the center part of Turkey today. He was from the southern part of that. This was an area that Paul had traveled through each of his journeys, he had traveled through. So he met him in Derbe and in Lystra. Paul saw something in this young man. He saw something in his character, so much so that Paul brought him along with him. He brought him under his wing and went with him. He went with Paul to different places. He was a young man. Paul tells him at one point to don't allow people to look down on you because of your age, because he was so young. So he was a young man. He was already a disciple of Jesus Christ when Paul met him. We see that here. It says a disciple there named Timothy. He was Jewish. His mother was a believer. His father was not. And Timothy was well respected. So what did Paul see in this young man? What did Paul sense about Timothy that made him special? And we can see from our beginning, from our verse we read at the beginning, Paul says in verse 4, he says, I was recalling your tears. Now, we can question, why was Timothy crying? I imagine Timothy was crying because Paul was leaving him. He had grown so fond of Paul, and Paul had become like a father to him, because Timothy probably didn't have a very good father figure, or one at all. And we'll talk about that in a minute. So Timothy was a man of compassion. If we go back again to the verses I read at first, he also says in verse 5, Paul says, I am reminded of your sincere faith. And this word sincere, it means literally to be without hypocrisy. Timothy was a man, a boy, a young man who would say what he was going to do, and he would do it. And what he said, he believed. It's this life of faith that we all should aspire to. It encompasses it's this constant walk with Christ, a relationship of prayer, meditation, worship, obedience. And it proves our love for Christ at every level of our lives and in every situation. Timothy had this. Paul saw that Timothy had this faith that was strong. And I imagine when Paul first met Timothy, he was like, man, where did this guy get this? How does he have this strong faith? Paul had it because Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus. He had a one-on-one encounter with Christ. He saw Christ. But here was Timothy. I'm sure he saw him as, man, this is this young guy. He has got it. How did he get it? How did Timothy get his faith? And we find out in verse 5 when he says, it first lived in his grandmother, Lois. Wow. Think about that. If you're a grandparent, if you think you have no influence on your children, think again. You have a huge influence on your kids. Lois, I'm sure, taught Eunice, her daughter, who was Timothy's mother, to live this sincere life of faith. She taught it to her daughter, and her daughter taught it to Timothy. And I'm sure that there are other times, it's very likely, this is just out of the book of Chris. There's no guarantee. This is just my thoughts. My thought is probably that Eunice and Lois raised Timothy together. And they had a strong influence. So grandmother and granddaughter and daughter raising a child to be a child of faith in a world that was not exactly friendly to the faith. See, chances are Eunice, first of all, she married a non-believer. She was Jewish. She married outside of the Jewish faith. She married a Greek. And it's very possible that Timothy's father was no longer in the picture. So Eunice may have been a single mom raising a child in a very scary world. Because it's very unlikely that if Eunice had become a believer in Jesus Christ, that the father, her husband, who was Greek, would have allowed her to do the things and raise her child the way that she was raising him. Chances are, he would have wanted Timothy raised the Greek way. But Timothy was raised the Christian way. So chances are the father wasn't even in the picture. And like today, raising a child in a single parent home is not easy. Believe me, I know. It's hard enough in a two parent home to raise a child today. But raising it in a single family home, a single parent home, is extremely difficult then as it is today. But Eunice was a wise and a spiritually strong mother. And Lois was a wise and spiritually strong grandmother. See, Eunice had learned these same priorities from her mother. and she passed them on to Timothy. See, being a mother, mothers, I'm not so sure how you do it. I'm glad I'm a dad. Mothering is tough. Mothering, being a mother to a child is extremely difficult. Now, and dads, I know we have it tough too at times, but mothers have it especially difficult. I look back at my life and I look back at the things my mother had 3 boys, 4 years apart, and a house that was extremely small. I walk in there today and I'm like, how did my mother raise 4 boys in this house without the house coming down, or 3 boys, 4 boys if you count my dad, 3 boys in this house without the walls coming down around us? How did it happen? Today, it is so hard. The world is pushing transitory values at our kids. Media is drowning us in things that are so ungodly. It focuses on money, position, power, fame, and entertainment, what I want for me, selfishness. All you have to do is look at the TV lineup and see what this world wants to push our kids into. And mothers have to fight that. They have to counter that. But we were warned what was going to happen. We were warned that this was going to happen. If we go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verses 1 to 5. Actually, that's not right. Okay. this is the way my week has been. That's okay. I needed my mother is what I needed. I needed my wife to mother me a little bit more. It's been a crazy week. But Paul is talking to Timothy, and he says this to him. He says, but understand this. That in the last days there will become times of difficulty. Why? For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And we say, yes, that's the world today. That's what we're fighting against. That's what parents and mothers are fighting against. But it goes on, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people. Don't have such people around you and around your family. Paul warned us. He warned us. And by the way, it's 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. How do mothers overcome the pressures of this world? How do they do it? How do they keep this world from encroaching in on their kids? You know, I'm amazed at times. When I come home and the kids, my kids have been bad. Let's put it that way. And I'm just amazed that my wife still has her hair. That she hasn't pulled it out. And I'm amazed that my kids can survive, are surviving in this world. And the only way it happens is by us having the right priorities. What is our priority? You know, we don't allow our kids to do certain things. Don't let them watch certain things. Believe me, they ask. Sometimes I wonder how they find out about it. How did Caleb find out about Iron Man? I love Iron Man, by the way, the movies. How did he find out about it? I mean, he sees things. My son catches things before I do. Driving down the road, he knows that. He sees something. And he'll ask me about it. And I'm just like, well, I don't want him knowing about that yet. But we have to have priorities. So mothers who take care of their kids in a way where they want to raise their kids to be godly children have to have priorities. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 14 through 15, this is Paul again talking to Timothy, but as for you, continue in what you have learned. Continue to learn on what you have learned from your mother and your grandmothers. Basically what Paul's telling him. And have been convinced of. Because you know those from who you learned it. Timothy, you know your mother and you know your grandmother. You know you've learned these things. Continue to do them. And how from your what? From your infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. See, one of the main priorities of a mother who wants to lead her children to Christ and to have be godly children and godly adults is they need to know the Savior. They need to know Jesus. Eunice, she led her boy Timothy to know the Lord Jesus Christ at a very young age. She taught him about Jesus. She expected that he would accept Christ as his Savior. See, in that verse, there's this anticipation of which are able. The Scriptures are able. It's this anticipation. If Beth is praying for our children, and she's praying to God that they would become children of Christ, that they would grow to be believers in Jesus Christ, there's this anticipation that God is going to step in and he's going to help her. Because we can't do it alone. If we tried to do it alone, we'd have both of our hair pulled out. We need Christ. We need our kids to know Jesus. Because there's going to come a time, and I see it already happening, where dad and mom's authority means nothing. But the authority of Jesus Christ is always. Susanna Wesley, I know I'm jumping way back. She was the mother of James and Charles Wesley. And it says that she prayed for her children an hour every day. Every day she would pray for her children for an hour. Now, that's tough to do. But she was very strict. She was unselfishly faithful. She had six rules for teaching her children the priority of the Savior. Six rules. Number one, subdue the self-will of the child. Yeah. We're still struggling with that one. My children have a very strong self-will. Both of them do. We are trying to subdue it. We are not trying to conquer it. We are not trying to change it. We're trying to subdue it. We're trying to get our children to take their will to be our will, which should be God's will. So subdue their will. Teach him to pray as soon as he can speak. Give him nothing he cries for, and only what is good for him when he asks politely. Punish no fault confessed, but let no sinful act go unnoticed. Reward good behavior. It's funny, Jeff's not in here. Last night he was talking about that. He's a negative reinforcer and his sister is a positive reinforcer. They both work. But we need to reward good behavior. Strictly observe all promises you have made to your child. Now, there's something very familiar about these rules, these six rules. And if you look at them, you can see it's exactly the way God treats us. He wants to subdue our will. He wants our will to be his will. He teaches us to pray. He wants us to pray before we can even speak. He wants us to pray always. He doesn't give us things we cry for, we whine for. But he gives us what is good for us. And he will give us some things when we ask politely. When we confess our sins, he doesn't punish us. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But there is no sinful act that we do that he does not notice. No thought, no action that he does not notice. He rewards our good behavior. He does. It's not what it's about. It's not about what we do. But he does reward our good behavior. And believe me, his promises never end. That's what a mother does. She loves her children without condition. She promises things and she keeps them. Because if a mother is loving this way, when the children grow, they'll also recognize the love of God, because the love of God is very much like the love of a mother. The second priority we need to have as mothers and as parents is to teach them at a young age about the scriptures. Eunice taught her son about the scriptures starting at a very young age. A very young age. Because it says, because he said, you knew these scriptures from a young age. From infancy, you have learned these, Paul was telling Timothy. Jewish boys start formal education in the scriptures at the age of 5. We started Caleb earlier than that. There's nothing wrong with starting a kid, child, when they first grow. I love the first Bibles that kids get. I love that they can look at them and they can see the pictures and they know and they begin to ask questions and they grow. To this day, our children are continually wanting to read scripture. We read them a regular story and then a Bible story every night. They long for that Bible story. And for Abigail, it's cute because her book, the book she usually brings down, says, you know, has you do things. So it says, like last night we read the one or part where Jesus ascends into heaven. It says, wave goodbye to Jesus. So she and I are there waving goodbye to Jesus. It gets her involved. But she's longing for the scriptures. But Eunice taught her son at a young age to love the scriptures. And believe me, the scriptures he had, you got to understand what those were. Those were the Old Testament, Leviticus, Numbers, all the way, all the scriptures and the writings of the prophets. She taught him those from a very young age. It is said this also so that Susanna Wesley had 19 children. Whew. Now, many of them died. Some of them were twins. She had 19 children. See, what is more interesting about this is that the mother of John and Charles Wesley, she took each child aside for an hour every week to discuss and teach them the principles of Scripture. She taught them the principles of Scripture. And you say, well, what effect did that have? Well, John and Charles Wesley touched 2 continents for Christ. 2. And it was because of their mother that that happened. How does she do it? Again, how do mothers do it? The best formula I can think of is what I talked about last week, being a Deuteronomy 6 family, being a Deuteronomy 6 person in a Joshua 24 household. Loving the Lord your God with all of your heart, all your mind, all of your might. And a Joshua 24th home is, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Mothers need to take that as their mantra, as who they are. Now, granted, and the church has as a big part in this church, it's important that mothers bring their children to church. Not just to drop them off, but to be involved with them, and fathers also. And to take what the children learn in Sunday school and to apply it in the life from Monday through Saturday. The kids come home with papers. We should be going through those papers and learning. Taking those papers to grandma and learning with grandma and grandpa. The survey we had, I showed you last week. I want to look at that again, just this first part. Look at this. This is a survey, of those of you who weren't here, this is a survey of spiritual influence. And these were kids who were in church. The males were influenced by mom, 81%. females were influenced by moms 74%. That is 20% and 24% higher than they were influenced by dad. Mothers have a huge influence on their kids. The time you spend with your kids is so important. And I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to candy coat this and seem like a Pollyanna thinking that, oh, well, you know, if you just sit down with your kids, everything will be perfect. They'll grow to be perfect kids. They may not. But don't you want to give them the chance? They need to have that chance. Nobody can make us do this. In fact, it's the opposite today. God has been removed from public places and from the schools, and they're teaching humanism. And your child has little chance growing up to be a Timothy or any with any kind of Christian values unless you teach them. With the demands of the world today, it's just it's pressure and burden and complications that are going on. When do single moms and working mothers have a chance and the time and the energy to sit down with their kids like Susanna Wesley did? It's tough. Being a mother is hard. It is the toughest job you will ever do. It's the toughest job you will ever do. And unless you're a mother, you probably will never understand it. But there's hope. See, if you make God's word and prayer a priority in your life, your children will see it. And grandmothers, if you make prayer and reading scripture a priority in your life, your grandchildren will see it. They will know it. They will learn from it. They will ask you questions. And if you can be ready to answer those questions, you'll be teaching them. And it doesn't need to be that, okay, it's Bible reading time. Let's everybody sit down. No, it's in those moments when you're driving down the road with your kids or you're driving down the road with the grandkids and you see something and they say, oh, look at the cow. Look at the cow. Look at the horses. And you say, yeah, isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome that God could make that? That God made that out horse? Isn't that cool? It doesn't need to be some deep theological thing. It just needs to be, isn't God amazing? Praising God for what he does. But see, if you don't live it, don't bother to teach it any other way. The whole do as I say, don't do as I do, it doesn't work. I have learned that myself with my son and my daughter. I tell them not to do things, and then I turn around and do it. And the next thing I know, what are they doing? The exact same thing I did. And I'm like, where did they get that? I know where they got it. They got it from me. They got it from me. Kids absorb everything. They will learn what you live. Grandparents, grandmothers, your grandkids will learn what you live in front of them. A child sees her mother carrying a Bible to church, but if that mother never opens it on Monday through Saturday, they'll learn that going to that the Bible and religion is just a Sunday morning thing. And it's only for that day and not for the rest of the week. Teach your kids the scriptures when they're young. And believe me, if your kids are or your grandkids are teenagers, it's still not too late. It's never too late. The third priority is service. See, now I'm doubting myself, and I'm looking the scripture up before I say what the verses are. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says, all scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Why? That a man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. See, all of Timothy's instruction in the Word and everything that his mother and his grandmother did for him was leading up to this moment when he would be with Paul and he would learn again even more from Paul, and then Timothy would be left behind to build the church, to do the work of service that he was made for. To be in service to the Lord was the purpose of this. And I'm not saying that if you raise your children to love the Bible and to pray and teach them scriptures and teach them, you know, they know about Jesus, they know Jesus, they love him. It doesn't mean they're going to be missionaries, they're going to be preachers. Believe me, there's things the Lord wants you to do as mechanics, as plumbers, as electricians, as teachers. There's nothing that we do that cannot be done for the Lord. And that God can't use for his glory. But it's for his service. That's the purpose of the scriptures. See, Eunice would serve and Timothy would follow her. There was a pastor, a Baptist preacher. His name was G. Campbell Morgan. And he was an evangelist back in the 1800s. He had four sons. And all four of those sons became preachers. So one day they were talking, some people were talking to these sons and the parents were there. And they said, which one of you is the greatest preacher? We have four sons who are preachers and the father who's preacher. Now, who do you think they would have said was the best preacher? They looked to their mother and said, mother is the best preacher. Mother. It's kind of like the football games, you know. You raise your son as a father and you train him and you're with him in his football games. And the first time he scores his touchdown on national TV, what does he say? Thanks, Mom. It's okay. Mothers have a 20% greater influence on our kids than fathers do. That's fine. My goal is to make it as even in my family. But mothers have a big influence. I have a simple question to ask. Unfortunately, there's not an easy answer. Mothers and grandmothers, how much time do you spend talking to your children and grandchildren about the scriptures? They should hear about God from you first. You should teach them songs about Jesus. They should be singing about Jesus before they're singing about Thomas the Train or singing all the music from the movie Frost. Or Frozen. Frost. Different movie. Frozen. Teach your children about Jesus. Get them in church. Share their Sunday school with them. Lesson with them. Be a godly woman. Get your priorities in order. Savior, scripture, and service. You see, being a mother and a father and a grandmother and a grandfather, they're not just honorary titles. They are working job descriptions. And having our priorities in place will never guarantee that the job's going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. Moms, you have a huge task ahead of you. Grandmas, you have a huge task in front of you. Raising kids in this world today that Paul described, that we see, it's tough. But see, you can't leave the job to somebody else. You can't bring your kids to church and expect the Sunday school teacher to teach them about God. You can't have them sit in the sanctuary and have the pastor teach them about God. There's a Spanish proverb that says, an ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. Lots of pounds here of clergy. It only takes a little bit of mom. Being a godly mother to equal what I even can think about doing. You need to lead them to the Savior. You need to teach them the scriptures. You prepare them for service. And you be a mother on a mission. A mission to love your kids without abandon. With abandon. With abandon. To love them with abandon. To love them no matter what. No matter what they do, no matter what sins they commit, no matter what things they do, if they confess them, you still love them. And you correct them when they need to be corrected. You love them. And when I say mothers, I don't mean mothers of little kids. I mean mothers of big kids too. Just because your child has moved out of your house does not mean that they can still do whatever they want to do and you can't say anything about it. They can do whatever they want to do, but you can say something about it. I hear stories about mothers who write their kids, who are adults, letters of saying, you understand what you're doing? You need Jesus. And I'm praying for you that you find Jesus again. We need to love our children no matter how old they are with abandon. We need to love them to the point of telling them when they're wrong, but still loving them and showing them as an example of what it means to be a godly woman and a godly man. Mothers are so important. You guys are so important. And grandmothers, you're so important to your children. You haven't missed the opportunity. Don't miss the opportunity as a grandparent, as a grandmother, and as a mother. And you haven't missed it in your kids who are adults. Continue to do what you need to do as a mother to love your kids. Happy Mother's Day. I know I've taken down a direction. It wasn't all roses and happiness, but it's important. It's important on this Mother's Day to understand what a mother truly is. A mother loves her children like Jesus loves us. Be that kind of mother. I'm going to ask Dean to come forward. We've got a little presentation here for our mothers.
I'm good. There we go. Just wish all the mothers and that are here today just a very special Mother's Day, and to show that we would like all of you to select a flower as you leave the service today. There's flowers on this side here, close to that door, and also another vase back here as you leave the back door there. Last year, I read a poem on Mother's Day that I thought was one of my favorite poems. And no, Chris, if you would ask me how many favorite poems I have, it would probably be one, but because I'm not really a poems person. But this one really, really touched my heart. It's a poem by Herbert Harham. It's a God's masterpiece's mother. God took the pieces of everything wonderful to make moms. God took the fragrance of a flower and the majesty of a tree, the gentleness of the morning dew, and the calm of the quiet sea. The beauty of the twilight hour, the soul of a starry night, the laughter of a rippling brook, and the grace of a bird in flight. Then God fashioned from all of these a creation like no other, and when his masterpiece was through, he simply called it mother. So, yes, again, it is a very special day for all you mothers out there, and it's time for celebration. But also for all of us sons and daughters and husbands, it's also a day that in the game of Monopoly, you get a card called Get Out of Jail Free Card. This is one of the days that you can get out of a situation card with your mother by only just talking to her, telling that person that you love her. At some point in time, you will not be able to do that. You will not be able to mend the bridge, mend the fence, fix the problem, or simply even say, I love you. So as my challenge to all of you today is to make sure that you make contact with that special person. So again, happy Mother's Day.
Normally we would sing a song. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to pray. You guys can go ahead and play it as we're going out. Please do what Dean said. Contact your mother, your grandmother. Tell them that you love them. Mothers are so special. They have such an influence on us. Most of us, if we were asked, would have to admit that we would not be where we are today if it wasn't for our mothers. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. We thank you so much for mothers, for the fact that they love us when we don't deserve it, that they teach us and they guide us even when we are well beyond the age when we think our mothers have an influence on us, Lord. They still set the example of what it means to be godly. Help us, Father, to honor them today and to honor our grandmothers, just as I'm sure Timothy honored his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. Father, you put many people in our paths and many people in our lives that guide us and direct us. But there's nothing like a mother to set us in the paths we need to be on and to show us love that reflects the love of Christ. Help us, Father, to never forget that. Not just today, Father. We celebrate it today, but it's not just about today. It's about every day. Honoring our mother. Loving her the way she deserves. And we pray all this. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.